Dr. Jorgensen's account was the first I had received of the effects of sudden deafness on one side. But since he wrote to me, I have found that his experience is far from unusual. One friend of mine, Howard Branston, related to me how, 20 years ago, he had an attack of sudden vertigo, followed by an almost complete loss of hearing in his right ear. I could still hear sounds on that side, he said, but could not unscramble words or distinguish tonal differences. He continued, "The following week I had concert tickets, but the musical performance sounded flat, lifeless, and without the harmonious quality I loved. Yes, I could recognize the music, but instead of the uplifting emotional experience I was anticipating, I became so depressed that tears came to my eyes." There were other problems, too. Howard was an avid hunter, and on his first deer hunting trip after his hearing loss, he found that his ability to locate sounds was severely undermined. "Standing absolutely still, I could hear the scurry of the chipmunk, the foraging of the squirrel, but the ability I formerly had to pinpoint the location of these sounds was now lost to me. I began to realize that if I wished to be a successful hunter, I would have to learn to compensate for the sensory handicap." After several months, Howard discovered many ways to compensate for his hearing loss on one side. He would alternate between analyzing a scene visually and auditorily, trying to meld the two perceptual inputs. "After a while," he said, "I no longer had to close my eyes if I kept scanning the scene by moving my head in a side-to-side motion, with a very slight up-and-down wave motion. After quite a while, I began to feel comfortable enough to go dangerous game hunting again. Now I was searching for sounds that were familiar to me." Composer, ethnomusicologist, and virtual reality pioneer Jaron Lanier is concerned with designing virtual reality with the greatest possible visual and auditory fidelity. He stresses that micro-movements of the head, movements of a few millimeters or tiny rotations, performed automatically and unconsciously in fractions of a second, occur even in those with perfect binaural hearing, and are indeed necessary for precise sound location. The scanning head movements that Branston describes, and which most of those who lose an eye or an ear develop, seem to be, at least in part, an amplification of these normally tiny micro-movements of the head. In a concert hall, Howard learned to turn his head slightly, as if I was looking at the instruments that would be playing at that moment, to the left for the violins, and slightly to the right for the bass and percussion. The sense of touch, as well as that of sight, was crucial in helping him reconstruct a sense of musical space. He experimented with his stereo subwoofer, which, he said, made me most aware of the tactile, physical nature of the sounds I was listening to. In his trophy room, which he had designed to be a perfect listening environment for his high-end stereo, he would use the power of the subwoofer to help him round up memories and images of sound and space. Perhaps all of us, unconsciously, use visual and tactile cues along with auditory ones to create the fullness of musical perception. With these, and doubtless many other accommodations, both conscious and unconscious, Howard now gets a pseudo-stereo effect, as Dr. Jorgensen does, and he enjoys music once again.